ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to CADcast episode number 338. I'm your host, GPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, as always, we are joined by a man who actually had the nickname Steam Machine in college, Wombat.
I did. Wait, did
flatulence.
I?
It was a flatulence joke.
Steam Box.
Steam Machine. There is no Steam Box, Wombat.
There is no Steam Box?
You have not been paying attention.
Well, what about the thing that I keep my bread in so it stays warm?
That's not called a steam box, is it?
No, I don't know. I just made that up.
That's called a sauna, I think.
Is that what it is? A sauna is a steam box.
I know.
Who's on first?
And here's a man who knows what a steam machine is, Shipwreck.
Yay.
You know things.
Steam.
Yeah, steam. We're going to be talking a little bit about steam this episode. We'll
I'm
let you
going
know
to be
later.
Sleeping a lot this episode.
So you can you can skip ahead or sleep. Like Wombat will be doing.
Your choice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a free country.
You're not interested in a steam machine, Wombat?
I don't know. I have a feeling I mean, we're just going to jump feet first. It's just the whole thing right now. It seems like add-ons for gaming PCs that I don't have, and the whole thing sounds complicated. And as the dumb end user, that is me, fully accepting that role as dumb guy who needs things to be easy. This is the opposite of that.
You're saying
we'll get to that later then, I think.
Right. Yeah.
That's a teaser for our discussion later.
Yeah, it should be actually pretty interesting. I've been thinking about that a lot. Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. A lot to talk about. Of course, no Shipwreck last week, but yes to Super Programmer John, who is here in Tokyo for TGS. And just
yep, good news, everyone. We decided to go week-week. So this week, Shipwreck. Next week, John. Next week, Shipwreck. Oh, we didn't tell you that, Shipwreck.
Oh, how awkward.
Oh, sorry about that.
There was a vote.
That's going to help in the comments so much, Wombat. Thank you for that.
That's a great idea, Wombat. Five people like this. Yeah, that's why I don't read the comments, because it can be rough.
I'd say it was 50-50, keep Janon, get rid of Shipwreck, get rid of Wombat, 50, keep Janon.
50-50?
Yeah, 50-50.
There was one guy that said get rid of me, but I don't want to bring that up.
there was one guy who said get rid of me.
Anytime that we do a podcast and one of us is not on it, it invariably turns into, oh yeah, that guy sucks.
Yep, or, that's how it works.
But you have to realize that it means nothing when people say that, because they don't even mean that. They're writing it. It's like the first thing that comes in their mind. They hit enter. I guarantee you they'd still like you to be on the show. It's just like a guy on Twitter today. I said we were going to talk a lot about PC on this week's show, and the guy's like, well, I guess I'll be skipping this week's show. And then I wrote him back and I said, well, you'll miss us talking about that. He's like, oh, I didn't really mean I was going to skip it. I just, you know, I was just messing with you. So you shouldn't really take these comments too seriously. People are just on
the internet. Oh, no, I don't. I usually just make a sarcastic comment back at them. And then that's about
Which
as far
is,
as it goes.
As I did. To
I,
my
I realize that we are putting ourselves out there as semi-public figures. So
it's been a while. It's been a long time.
You take
time.
The good and you take the bad, right?
There you have the facts of life.
Mm-hmm.
The facts of life. There's a world with your thing and these old ladies
girls,
here to clean the house.
Girls!
Right. Yeah, so it was really fun to meet Super Programmer John for the first time. And, you know, he's been working on CAG for like 6 years. So I think he had a good time. He really lived up to his Twitter name, Tired John, by being very tired the whole time. Jet lag is rough. He literally fell asleep standing up on the subway.
We talked about it for 15 minutes last
week. I know. It was pretty impressive. But he was very nice, and I hope he had a good time. I think he had a good time while he was here. Hopefully, maybe he should come to E3 next year.
That's fine. It's up to you, really.
Right. You guys
Wombat, is that okay with you?
I'm like, I'm fine.
He said he mentioned wanting to share a bed with you, so.
That's fine.
Okay.
What is that supposed to frighten me? You want to hear a funny story that's related to me sharing a bed with another man?
Of course, obviously.
So my daughter is really into the Rainbow Loom. Do you know what the Rainbow Loom is?
Mm-mm.
It's the hot thing now with young girls where you make these rubber bracelets. And I'm sure some boys too. I don't want to gender specify.
Right.
But Sabrina's really into making these bracelets, and they're complicated, so it's very impressive that she can make it. And she goes, "Daddy, I want to make you a bracelet too. Will you wear it to work?" And I said, "Of course I would, Sabrina. Please make me a rubber, you know, one of these rubber band bracelets." And she makes me one, and, you know, she's talented, and she made a very specific pattern of a rainbow pattern. Like, right. You know, doing the whole Roy G. Biv color scheme, which is also the exact same color scheme as the gay pride flag.
Right.
And this, basically, she made me a gay pride bracelet.
Right. And, but you work, you know, you, people should know that you work for a gay company.
Yes. And I wore it to work.
And you have a today. Gay job.
Yes. And I wore it to work. And more than one person who I work with, gay men, were like, "That's really gay. Even I wouldn't wear that."
And you're like, "My daughter made it for me."
And I'm like, "But my daughter, exactly. My daughter made it for me." And they're like, "Okay, well, then it's acceptable."
Right, right.
But, and I
so
did.
Which
I wore
these guys
the whole
did you end up sleeping with? Where did that come into play?
Yeah, it just was going into the gay theme.
Oh, well, that was a real reach.
Yeah. Speaking of gay.
That was a real reach around.
Yeah, that was the joke I just made.
I know.
Good work.
You're welcome. Speaking of good work.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear about Shipwreck's good work.
You guys didn't make it out to the Game Junkie Expo.
No.
Oh, my
Maybe
ticket
next
got
year.
Lost. Maybe. Sure. Next year, I'll drive in.
You should.
How was it? Where was it and how was it?
It was at the Atrium Inn and Conference Center.
Where?
It's in Cincinnati.
Okay.
In the outskirts of Cincinnati, near kind of one of our rundown malls.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The dirt mall?
Not the dirt. We have actual dirt malls.
Oh, okay.
This is just a mall that used to be the like really popular nice mall, but then the nicer malls came in, and so now it's just kind of still there.
It's a place you go if you want to get your car stolen.
It's not that bad. Not nowhere in Cincinnati's quite that bad.
Gotcha. So Game Junkie.
It was good. It was fun. We had I was on a panel. We talked about video games.
Who's we and what was the panel
yeah.
about?
Who is we?
I'm gonna forget people's names, but there was Matt Mattson, who runs the Game Junkie site. He was the owner of the store that Game Junkie that was in Cincinnati for a while.
So is this an expo? There's no store associated with the expo anymore?
Not anymore. The stores closed down like 5 years ago because that's what independent game stores tend to do.
Right.
Like they all closed down about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it was the kind of store like you went in and people would be in there like playing Super Smash Brothers and there'd be like tournaments and prizes and that type of stuff. So it like had a following of people. So the expo was just a bunch of kind of old consoles out. Like I played some Telstar.
Telstar Ranger or Telstar?
Telstar.
Didn't have the gun.
No, no gun.
Nice. I had that.
Just the hockey and the tennis and everything.
Yep.
And then, yeah, just like a bunch of console type games. There was an Ouya there. I played some Ouya.
Just as rare as the Telstar.
As the Telstar, yeah. It's like, oh, I've seen one of these before. They had some pinball machines, a big arcade MAME cabinet. So there's a lot of like fun games. Like you could go up and ask for different games to put into the system and everything. Really nice, like local gaming event.
Did people show up for the panel?
There was probably about 25 people.
That's pretty impressive. That's really a nice turnout.
That is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's impressive. I wouldn't say impressive.
For a small event in Cincinnati, Ohio? Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's like calling the 3DS an extraordinary device, I would say.
Speaking of extraordinary devices, you know what I played for the first time ever in my life over the weekend?
A vagina.
What's that?
A Virtual Boy.
Oh.
That's it not gave very me a headache. And then I stopped. It was not extraordinary.
That's pretty much what happened with every Virtual Boy.
Yeah, I played a whole bunch of games. I was a friend of Sabrina's dad has a Virtual Boy with every game they make for it.
Wow.
So like all seven games.
He has like 15 games.
Okay. He got some of the imports or something.
Yeah, he does. He has a handful of imports and some rare ones and some ROMs on a thing. And I'm like, all right, I'll check them out. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, and by cool, I mean it gave me a headache.
Right. Oh, I got a...
I played one of those in Walmart one time. That's the only time I've ever played a Virtual Boy. And I knew right then that I never need to play this again.
You didn't?
Yeah, I played some... what was it? Code Red was the game that I thought was okay. It was kind of... It's like a vector graphic. Think Star Wars and or Star Fox kind of a game.
Kind of everything was on that system was like that, though.
Yeah, and you just, you know, fly a spaceship into walls, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why that thing failed.
Yeah, they have it at Super Potato in Tokyo if you want to play it, set up. But
oh, I'll head there tomorrow.
Mm. You don't want to do that. Speaking of things that you probably don't want to do or buy, Ben Gilbert was nice enough to give me his extra NVIDIA shield that he had for
nice
review.
Welcome to the Brotherhood.
Yes, now there's three of us. Because Ben had an extra one and ship. The crazy thing about the NVIDIA Shield is that it's actually like a nice piece of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Like the screen is really nice. I mean, the screen might be nicer than the Vita. Is it? Like technically?
It looks really nice. It's hard to say because what I'm looking at is like I'm playing Borderlands with PC resolution.
Right.
And it looks really good. So it's hard to compare.
It's a nice screen. It's a nice touch screen. Let's put it to say that. It's very nice. Everything feels really solid. Like the controller feels solid. I don't know that the layout is like perfect for me.
Not perfect, but
it's functional. It's fine.
Yeah. For being able to be flip closed.
Yeah. It's big and heavy. Like you're not, that's not going in anybody's pocket. I don't care how big you are. And if you put it in your bag, it's like you're not going to forget it's in there ever.
What did you think about the magnetic faceplate?
What's that? I don't even know what that is. What's the magnetic
The silver part on the front. It's just on there by magnets. You can just take it off.
What's underneath it?
It more magnets.
I didn't even know. It's supposed to be replaceable. Magnets?
How do they work?
Yeah, you can buy different covers for it.
Oh, you mean like the silver thing that's on the...
Yeah, the silver thing.
I had no idea about that, but let me tell
you
something.
No one else knows what you're talking about either, because no one else has seen a Vita and Shield in person.
Right. I tried the game streaming, which is the main selling point, because I don't think anybody has any interest in buying this thing to play Android games on it, because that's what you can do. Also, like Android, because that's there's three features, right? There's the playing Android games with the controller. There's and Android apps like Hulu and all that stuff.
It works well for that stuff.
The screen is nice. It's powerful, so it's fast, right? Mm-hmm. It loads everything pretty quickly. And it's a touchscreen. So and the way that the controller acts as the base and the tilt of the screen, you can. You know, it's very flexible in that.
Yeah, you can set it on like your desk or whatever, and it's its own stand.
Right, and the speakers are really loud, which is and good. Like they sound good and they're loud, which is very unusual for a portable.
There's a reason this thing is $300.
Yeah, it feels like a good piece of equipment. The problem is I just can't get. You know, I have no interest in the Android gaming stuff. The apps as well. Like I have iPads and iPhones, like just really unnecessary for me. And the other main selling point is that you can stream PC gameplay through it, through your home network, although that's in beta currently. And they say they only support certain games, but other games kind of sort of work, but the whole feature only kind of sort of works in general. So sometimes it works, sometimes it just says there's too much network traffic and just kicks me out. It's really unpredictable. Is it the same way with you, Ship, or?
Yeah, I mean, some of it, I've talked about it before. I think it's my network setup. I don't think it's necessarily.
We have the same router.
We do have the same router.
The Apple Extreme, Airport Extreme.
Yeah.
The old one.
But when it works, it's great. Like, it's pretty amazing what it's doing. But yeah, there's other times where it just doesn't want to connect.
Yeah, and it just won't work. Like, so. And I was trying games that aren't even, they say they aren't supported, but they still, like, they work basically just as much as the games that are supported, which is sort of, kind of, sometimes. So like Ty and I were playing Lego Lord of the Rings, split screen on the Shield. He was using an Xbox controller, I was using the Shield, and it was really cool. But I think the big
picture... So what, do you just huddle around it?
Well, it's a big...
Like a
yeah.
campfire?
Yeah, well, you know, he's my son. It's okay. We can do that.
Look, I don't touch my kids. It's a walking ball of virus.
It's a nice, it's a nice bright screen. And it's loud. But yeah, I mean, of course, I also have a big screen that I could play this on. This thing makes really no sense. And I think for most people, it doesn't make a lot of sense either. So I don't know. Like, I don't really know who this is for.
No, I think that's pretty much a common thing now, is people put out products that there's no market for. They just kind of hope. They're like, oh, we can do this. It'll be really cool.
Is it just they have so much money? Like, I'm not familiar with NVIDIA as a company.
I think it very much is an iPhone, iPod thing. I think when the iPod was first introduced, going back, when was it first introduced? 2001? Was that the first, like, the first iPod?
The very
it's
first
in that one. Time frame, yeah.
Yeah.
2000, 2001.
I think when it first came out, to a lot of people, is there really a market for this? There obviously was, but I think before that thing was released, and hearing about it from, because I had a friend who bought one the day it came out, which is why I have like vivid memories of the iPod version 1 and seeing one for the first time. But I think that you know, to a lot of people, not you know, in industries and things, it was like, well, who has their music digitally? Who had their music digitally when the iPod first came out?
Everybody. Where were you buying? We just all got it from Napster.
Where were you buying your digital music? But, you know, a lot of...
Nobody was buying it. It was Napster.
Exactly. It was all from Napster. So it was this whole, the iPod came out, and now there was a place to put this digital music that a lot of people didn't even realize people were stealing. And then they made a store where you could buy digital music.
I can't wait to see how this ties into the Shield, by the way. Go on.
I think people see that, and 10 years down the line, there's probably someone at NVIDIA that's like, well, people don't need this now, but maybe we can make it something like an iPod. And we'll build a store, and people could buy games, and it'll stream things, and it'll work with all their digital media, because that's probably a word that some marketing guy said to them. And they're like, yeah, we'll build it.
I don't know. I think for NVIDIA,
I'm just hypothesizing. You're saying we're you know, it's
but that's not their business.
They don't make
you know, consumer electronics products. They make video cards. I mean, they make a very specific thing, and that's where their money comes from. Is selling these, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars video cards. Some of them cost over $1,000, and they come up with new ones, you know, throughout the year, every year. They must think that something like this technology is going to sell more video cards. They must just not care about making money this time around.
Yeah, I think this is more like a kind of just a small production run kind of hobby venture. Like, they're like, oh, we just kind of made this thing. Maybe it'll make people buy some NVIDIA video cards.
Right. And here's I think like the streaming technology. You know, that's, I mean, look at, everybody's talking about it now. You got the Vita TV, you got, what else you got? You got the Shield, you got Steam OS. So I think they're just showcase for them, their cards. And really, like, they don't honestly think that they're competing with, you know, Nintendo or Sony or...
Well, it's not that kind of
thing. It's not that kind of thing for them.
It's not that kind of thing.
It's just... Yeah, it's like, here it is. Help us test out this technology.
I wonder how many they've produced.
They said they were happy with the sales.
But I was going to say, it's, you know, I don't know how it's not so much how much have they sold. How much have they made? You know, how many?
Who knows?
Have they made?
All I know is that Amazon does not sell them, which I thought was surprising.
But there's only a few stores that do sell them. Like, I think no, Target doesn't sell them. Target said sold Ouyas.
Oh, that's true.
But only in very limited markets. Micro Center sells them. That might be the only retail store that sells them. And then Newegg, and then you can buy it from NVIDIA Direct.
Right, but you really don't shouldn't be buying it, probably. You need a friend like Ben who will just bring it to you for free. If you get a friend like that, you're good to go.
I'll see Ben on Friday. Let's see what he can do for me.
See if he can give you money. All right, how about some show feedback? Do we need to do show feedback? Should we just move on?
We can move on. We spent too much time talking about the Shield.
Okay.
And we already talked about it anyway.
People just need to know that I didn't buy it. People were like, what? You weren't going to buy Grand Theft Auto, but you bought a Shield?
I feel like we could be like Shield friends or something now, though.
You can't, though.
Yeah, I know.
No, he means like an real life club.
Oh.
Like super friends. Shield friends.
I don't know that's what he meant, though.
I do. I think so. Like they would hang out after school.
So let's do some Watch This Bitches, and let's talk more about Shield.
Yeah. Did you watch it? Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Really?
I watched it. I watched Agents of Shield. Really? I did.
No, I was talking about Cheap. I'm surprised you didn't watch it.
Oh, I don't live in America. It's
but
a little
you can
bit
stream,
of a hassle.
It's online.
I'll get there. I got shit to do.
What'd you think, Shipwreck? You're a Marvel guy.
It was fine. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't blown away by it or anything, but I thought for a pilot episode, it introduced the characters. It made me want to watch another episode of it. So,
mission successful.
Yeah, my wife enjoyed it. It had a lot of callbacks to the movies.
It did, so. Especially Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I need to go watch Iron Man 3 again because I remember Iron Man 3, but maybe I'm forgetting like who was really in charge of everything.
No spoilers. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, no, it was just surprising. I agree with you because I'm like, I know a lot of people saw Iron Man 3. I guess it's like, and the, you know, obviously the Avengers movie. But if you haven't seen the Avengers or Iron Man 3, that pilot might have been a little confusing. So I recommend that. So
I don't know. I guess, but I mean, those are like two of the highest grossing movies.
That's just gonna say. So I'm sure. I'd be surprised if anyone who's watching it hasn't seen those movies. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. But overall, I liked it too. It was pretty cool. And that car, Lola, the Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that on the street that morning. So,
is there a talking car on the show?
No, but he drives a 60-something Corvette. Let's say 68, because I feel like making up a number.
The Stingray?
I think so. And they had it parked outside the Good Morning America studios during the day of the premiere. So I got to see that car live. That was kind of cool.
You know what car I got to see? I got to sit in and use. I got to sit in the Tesla, the new Tesla Model S.
Nice.
It's got.
Oh, I was pricing one of those today.
They're expensive.
They are.
It's $100,000, right?
With all the options.
The good battery.
The good battery and the all glass roof.
It's amazing. Roof?
Roof? Yeah. Are you going to get one?
Roof.
Are you going to get one?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, I was just screwing around on their website.
Oh, and I'm like, you're getting a Tesla? Cool. Good for you.
They're amazing on the inside. I mean, I didn't actually go anywhere. I just sat in it with it on. And that touchscreen, I mean, it's a huge fucking television in your car that controls the entire car.
There's someone at the train station that drives a Tesla and parks it just out in the Massapequa parking lot.
The four-door or the sports car?
I want to say it's a sports car.
That one sucks compared to this.
Okay, I'm like, yeah, it's just weird. Yeah.
That's just a Lotus. That's like a test for them. They took a Lotus and they put batteries in it, basically.
That sounds
terrible. Sat in that car. I've sat in the Lotus one.
Yeah, Consumer Reports said that this was like the best car they've ever reviewed.
Yeah.
My thing is, I still don't want to be dependent on finding a charging station.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, it could be rough.
This is not going to work in
most of
the country.
How quickly my phone runs down every day.
What happens? That
my phone, like I'm constantly looking to find ways to charge that and plug it in. And I just can't imagine having that same feeling with my car.
Well, you do it at home, I think is the idea. You don't drive 300 miles a day, do you?
But I might want to.
Well, then you have to find a charging station. It's all built into the car. It has Google Maps built into it, and you just push a button for charging stations, and then it just pops up.
And I'm sure there are plenty in the Kentucky area.
Right. Well, that's the problem. It's only going to work in like the San Francisco area, and I don't even know what Japan looks like in terms of plug-in electric cars. But it was really impressive, though. You could surf the internet on it. You can, you know, everything is controlled through the touchscreen. It's pretty amazing. What else we got here? I was in Kentucky last night. What's that?
I was in Kentucky last night.
For what?
I watched a movie.
You watched a movie?
Yeah, I went down there, watched a movie.
What movie?
The Spectacular Now.
How is that? That's the Jim Rash, Nat Faxon movie, right?
That movie is the movie that was playing during the time frame that I was ready to watch a movie. Like, I had a very specific window, and that was the one that fit in it.
Okay.
So I don't know any of the people that are involved with this movie. It's a teenage coming-of-age story, but it's not... It's actually really good. Like, I think it has like a 93 or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm.
And it's pretty much just because it's really well acted and it's not very cliche.
I see.
So I think you'd like it, Cheapy, because there's some depressing moments.
Perfect. Right. We watched World War Z this weekend. It was okay. It's your typical Hollywood zombie movie, right? About nothing at the end of the day. No message, no characters you really care about. Just, you know, the whole movie is basically them trying to be quiet and then not being able to be quiet, just making noise and attracting zombies. Have you either guys seen it?
No.
Oh, I just ruined it for you then. It's them trying to be, there's like five different scenes where they're trying to be quiet. And somebody like trips over something, knocks something over, you know, whatever, and zombies come running at them. That's the whole movie.
Sounds fun.
What else we got here? New releases.
Okay. Let's see. What did we have come out this week? There was FIFA 14.
That's a game with soccer game.
Uh-huh. It's a soccer game. Pro Evolution Soccer 2014 is also a soccer game.
That is a soccer
game. Which of those do you like better, Wombat?
I usually lean towards FIFA. I find the character models are better and the controls are a little bit tighter. Also, I've never played either.
That sounded pretty convincing.
I know, didn't it?
Let's see. I played some Girl Fight, which came out for Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation 3.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
Two. Why did it say PlayStation 2 on it?
I think that's a mistake on Tech Gaming's website.
But it also says PlayStation 3.
Yeah. I think that's what maybe supposed to be Oh, FIFA came out for PlayStation 2. That did happen.
Yeah. But the Girl rest Fight of those, did not.
No.
Got it.
The rest of those, I think, should be on the
PS. So it's a shitty fighting game with girls in bathing suits? Is that basically it?
It is. Well, they're not all in bathing suits. Some of them are in like fishnets.
Nice.
But how shitty is it?
It's pretty shitty.
See, my tweet was accurate.
It wants to be or is emulating Dead or Alive, but like there's a lot of like countering and like a bunch of quick combos and stuff.
Well, don't spoil it. I look forward to reading your strategy guide.
Not Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
We can use another one of those. Where are those at? Are we too politically correct now to have a live Extreme Beach Volleyball?
I think those days have passed.
What if some of them were lesbians? Because some of them are. Does that make a difference?
No.
Could help.
Helps Cheapy.
Help me do what, exactly?
I don't think we want to discuss that on the show.
Right, no. I don't think I've ever masturbated to a video game or ever even thought about it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you've never masturbated to lesbians.
Oh, wait, I just lied. There was some like hentai game that somebody gave me.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't even know that I was successful in the completing the act. I think I tried and gave up.
This is lame.
Yeah, pretty much. This is boring. What else we got here?
Scribblenauts Unmasked, a DC Comics adventure, came out for Wii U and 3DS. And
I read one review for that so far where it got a 7.
IGN gave it a 9.1.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Wow.
That seems high for just the Wii U version.
Don't know. I Googled it and clicked on it, and then I saw it. I scrolled down and saw the
Scribble
score.
Scribblenauts Unmasked. I'm curious to know how the 3DS version is and how different the 3DS version is from the...
It's got to be all the same, right?
I don't know.
How much can they change it?
They could change a lot. One's a handheld and one's a home console.
Well, it's also on PC.
Yes, I'm sure the PC version and the Wii U version are, you know, are similar. The PC version might look a little sharper.
I want to get this for Ty. Do you think Ty can handle this? But
I don't know if he can handle it, but he might enjoy, like, you know, looking at the characters and stuff.
I think it would be good because it's all reading and spelling, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be good for him. But I don't want to, I don't know. Then I got to, can I download this on the 3DS?
Yes.
I can?
Yeah.
All the games are on there?
Usually. I don't know. Take a look. Shit. There's only one way to find out.
Find my charger?
Yeah. Find your charger. See if you can download it.
And then find your 3DS.
And find the 3DS. Yeah. Ty was asking for that the other day. I was like, hmm. What else we got here?
For the Wii U, Super Mario Brothers for the Virtual Console came out.
That's a great deal at $5.
How did that not come out at launch, first of all? And second of all, how is that like a...
Right. Next.
Yeah.
The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker HD is... it's coming out, right?
That's it's out for download, I believe.
Out for download. That's what it is. I don't know. Do you guys... Like, I liked Wind Waker, but I just can't be bothered to care that they put out an HD version of it.
Oh, according to IGN, by the way, the three versions of Scribblenauts Unmasked are virtually identical across the PC, Wii U, and 3DS, with notable exception that the 3DS doesn't include the hero creator, but does have Street Pass support to unlock select hero costumes.
Oh, the hero creator sounds good, though.
I don't know. I'd be just as happy with the characters that already exist in the DC universe.
Are you saying that just because you can't play either of the other versions?
Well, that's part of it. And also, you know, it's a question of, do I feel like I'd be missing that? I don't know if I feel like I'd be missing the hero.
I don't know. My boy likes to make his superheroes up, I think.
Well, then you need to get it on the PC then.
Where?
The PC.
Okay.
The personal computer.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But then I got to give him like a keyboard and everything.
I don't know what to tell you.
Might be fun. Fine. You twisted my arm.
Twist. I'm sure it'll be $10 before you know it.
Right. Next.
So that's all we have to say about Wind Waker HD, I think.
I never played it, and I don't have
Wind Waker's a good game.
Oh, yeah, it's a really good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. I just, you know, but I played it.
Should I buy a Wii U to play it?
I've played Wind Waker twice already. I don't know if I need to play it a third time.
No, you don't. What else?
Also on Xbox Live Arcade, I tried out the free-to-play game that came out. It's called Ascend Hand of Cool. It's K-U-L. I don't know.
Call.
Right.
I like saying cool.
Hand of Cool. That's what Cheapy had when he was watching that hentai game.
Hand of what? Goo?
Cool.
Oh. Yeah.
So... We saw this game at E3 a little bit. It's the one that kind of looks like a Fable or a Kingdoms of Amalur type look.
Oh, who makes this?
This was made by Signal Studios.
I do not remember.
It's a third-person action fantasy barbarian type of look to it, and it's free-to-play.
Did we see this game together in a closed room?
Or you might be thinking about one of the guys at work.
No.
Was this Sherlock Holmes
publisher, Focus?
No? Yeah.
Different game?
No, this is a different game.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with Focus. This is published by Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
So it was in the 360 booth. So it's got all like the same type of combos that we would find in those type of games, like a bunch of X's and Y's to your light and your heavy attacks. And the way the game starts out, like it's got a lot of customization, and that's where like the free to play aspect kind of comes in, because it starts out and you can choose like your face, like you can choose from maybe 6 or 9 faces. But then when you get to the 10th face, it's like, okay, this costs 500 coins or whatever. Same thing, like all these different options for your armor and your weapons and your hair color and skin color and everything, which the skin color, they do give you every like normal type of skin color, like human skin color.
Right.
Those are all free.
But like, if you want to be blue, you gotta,
like, if you want to be blue, then they charge you money.
Yeah. Otherwise it's like, it's a little racist, right?
Right. Which I immediately checked just cause I was curious
to see how racist they were.
Right. I wanted to see how racist this game was. Not very racist apparently. But I don't know. It's got a kind of a good hook at the beginning. Like, it seems like your character might grow, because there's like these big giants that are walking around, and it hints that you're not strong enough to take them out yet, but maybe in the future. And like, as your guy is running around,
maybe if you got $10, we could talk.
Yeah, maybe if you have $10, you might be able to beat that guy. But it's also got a MMO type of atmosphere almost to it, because there's also other characters running around. Like,
yeah,
you see, like, I don't know. I think I was playing with Gunshow 68 was another character I saw running around.
Right.
And, it's interesting, but I haven't played enough of it yet to hit that wall where it's like, okay, this is where you have to start paying.
Where is this on PC?
No,
this is on Xbox Live.
Xbox Live.
This is an Xbox exclusive.
I believe so. Maybe?
It might be coming to PC as well. I'm not sure, but it's a Microsoft published game.
Yeah.
Hey, we forgot to talk about Shadow Warrior.
Okay, that comes out this week as well.
That is out this week. Have you played it at all?
I've played about an hour of it. Yeah.
Shipwreck got the hookup on the review codes, so I played about 3.5 hours of it, almost 4 hours.
You must like it.
I think it's really good. I've never played the original, and
it's
frankly,
really,
if you had told me that this was just a completely original game, I would have no reason to not believe you.
Well, is it not an original game?
It's a remake, right?
I think it's a reimagining. I think it's a completely new game.
Oh, okay. But the dialogue, I thought the dialogue, is this something very similar, or?
This is very confusing, because they just put out a remake of the original game.
Right.
Like, about 3 weeks ago or whatever it came out, and then this new Shadow Warrior game came out as well.
Yeah, I'm confused. Yeah, wasn't this kickstarted or something? Or no?
No, that I believe is the remake of the original.
Okay. Forget about the original. I don't know about it. I can just tell you about this game, the game that I played almost 4 hours of. So this is a first-person shooter-slash-sword-fighting game. So think, what was that Wii game that tried to do this? Red something. Red Steel.
Yeah, Red Shit.
Red Shit, okay? So imagine Red Shit taking place in Japan, but it's not shit at all. In fact, it's excellent.
Did you unlock your dildo?
No, I did not. I did not know about the dildo.
That's, you seen that?
No.
Oh, because if you have Saints Row, if you have Saints Row 4 on PC, you should be able to unlock the giant purple dildo as your weapon.
Right. See, I have the press. They gave me the free one. See, this is. I wish I just fucking paid for it. Never.
No. It should work just fine.
Yeah,
it'll work.
Should be in there.
It's not.
I don't know if you've unlocked it yet. I'm not sure how it gets unlocked.
I can't use any of the DLC with the press version. Like, this press version is killing me.
Oh, of Saints Row, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about Saints Row.
Row.
I wish that I never got the review copy in the first place, and I just bought it like everything.
Oh, poor you. Hawaii is so boring.
Oh, it's so hard being cheap.
I'm just saying.
Can't use any of the DLC in my copy of Saints Row.
Right. All right. You done?
I want to go to Tosh's Station and get some power converters.
Right.
Tell us more about Shadow Warrior.
Right. So you're basically in a very beautiful renditioned traditional Japan, complete with cherry blossoms, temples, gates, bridges.
It's a little bit janky looking, though.
No way. Like, really? I think it looks really good.
It's priced as a $40 game, and it, I don't know. When I was playing it, I was thinking it was more like in the $30 range, but
I don't know. I'm pretty impressed with it. I mean, I think that the sword play is pretty satisfying. The dismemberment is pretty satisfying.
There's limbs and heads flying everywhere.
Everywhere. And you just know, like, it's the sword play is done well enough that when you have somebody lined up and you hit swing, you don't need to look to see if their head really came off or not. You know it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying, Ship? Like, it doesn't feel arbitrary at all.
No, it's clearly you've swung your sword, it's at their neck, and off goes their head.
It's going to come off. You should be waiting, lining up the next guy, basically. You have, some magic powers as well. I don't know. I think it's really fun. I'm not disagreeing with you when you say that you maybe envisioned it as a $30 game. I don't know how long the game is. I don't know if it changes at all past the 4-hour mark. But I was very impressed. I mean, this is like a sleeper hit to me because I didn't know anything about it. And then I spent like 3 hours yesterday playing it. So
the dialogue's pretty good too. Like it's good in a almost House of the Dead overkill type of
I thought it was really fun, like legit funny, actually.
Yeah.
You're only like an hour in. There's some pretty good jokes coming up where I actually LOL'd. And I said LOL.
You did just say suck on it. I'd rather not do that.
So Shadow Warrior, this is just PC? It's not on anything else, huh?
It's just PC, yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised. Are you using the controller or the mouse and keyboard?
I'm using the controller.
The problem with the controller is that you cannot use, there's no way to set up the left trigger to zoom the weapons, the guns. You gotta just like click in the thumbstick. I'm not a fan of that. On PC, you can, change shit around on that. If you're using mouse and keyboard, you can change shit around. But anywho, I think it's pretty cool. You should check it out, or at least, keep an eye on it for sale, future sales. Anything else here?
No, I think that's enough.
That's good. Okay, let's do a quick ad for our friends at GoDaddy, and then we're going to talk about GTA 5, which I bought because I did it for you guys. So, GoDaddy.com. Like what's not you, the listeners. Well, that.
Oh,
and you, and you specifically.
Okay,
well, not Shipwreck, though.
No, never fuck Shipwreck. Him.
GoDaddy.com for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. We have a few coupon codes for you. We have CAG249 gets you $2.49 domain registrations. CAG32OFF1 gets you 32% off your order. And CAG39 gets you a domain registration and a year of private registration. That's GoDaddy.com. Now, Wombat. GTA 5. Shipwreck, you do not own this game, correct?
No, I just don't. It doesn't bring me joy to play these games. Like, it makes me feel bad about myself.
You don't know, do you? Because you haven't played it.
But I've played the other four.
But?
Tell me how this game is going to bring me joy.
I'll tell you this much. Obviously, I'm not that far into it. According to the Raptors, I am 8 hours in. Which, that's not terrible. I did my first big heist, which was fun. I will say that there are parts of this game and the characters in this game I like a lot more than 4. Like, I did not like Nico and that crew of characters at all.
Right.
I think the characters in this game are actually a little bit more likable, as despicable as they are. Because they're not good people. They're more likable from a I'm sitting at home and I know that this isn't real life perspective. Like, I like playing as Franklin. I think he's a cool character.
Rockstar, don't you think that some Rockstar games, they have so many unlikable characters, you can't even understand why your in-game character would be even talking to this guy?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah. Yeah, and I find it's a little, easier to take. I think the, what's his face? The other guy, the rich white guy?
Michael.
Michael, thank you. You think I'd remember the most popular name in America. Right. Michael, I like him too. I think, and his character makes sense also because he's a planner. You know, he plans these kinds of things. So it kind of makes sense for him to, you know, and what he's doing. I don't know. I just, it, some of it meshes better. It definitely, there are some tasks that, and missions that feel, still feel like busy work that haven't quite fixed that problem yet. I still think that I spend, that when I'm driving, I still spend way too much time looking at the bottom left of the screen. And okay. looking at the colored line and not actually looking at the road. I still think the line should be on the damn road. Because what's the point of having... Why make these beautiful, fully rendered streets that I'm only looking at the bottom corner? You should keep my focus on the street. And it's not that hard to do.
It sort of takes you out of the realism of the game if you start popping up arrows everywhere. Especially now that
I was going to say, what realism? What realism is in this game?
The environments are very realistic looking.
They're very realistic looking, but does putting a yellow line on the street really going to really take you out of this
out of the
realism of the world that much in a game where you just ran over five people?
I don't know about that, but I think it seems to me that for the first time they've been able to make the environment interesting enough that. Well, maybe not for the first time, but maybe for the first time since some of the older games, where I was just really interested in just driving around. I saw something in the distance, and I said, hey, let me just drive over there and see where that takes me. And that it inevitably takes you somewhere interesting. Like, Saints Row 4 did not have that at all.
Where did you go?
Where did I go?
Yeah, you said you saw something interesting.
Well,
what
okay, for
it?
Example, I was driving on some road and I saw like a dirt road off to the, you know, go off of the main road. I said, I was in a Range Rover Evoque, basically. That's another great thing about this is that they've ripped off every popular car created.
Yes, they did.
They
just
and they just changed the name pretty much. I mean, I can see what all these cars really are. So I'm like, I'm in a Range Rover. Let me go off roading here and see what happens. So I'm going off road. And I keep going and going, and the road just keeps taking me somewhere. And eventually, I'm like getting into mountains, and the mountains are getting steeper and steeper. And I'm wondering if my car can actually get up this steep incline. But of course, I'm in a Range Rover, a fake Range Rover, so it can. And I can keep going and going, and eventually, I'm like on the top of a mountain that's really narrow. And then I'm like, "Fuck it! I'm just gonna see what this Range Rover can really do." And I just start driving down the hill like really aggressively. And it's doing a pretty good job because you can sort of steer the car in the air too. And eventually the car just like gets destroyed or stuck somewhere at the bottom. But now I'm at the water. And so I just jump in the water and I start swimming. I see like a little island off there. And eventually I see a boat and there's some people hanging out in the boat. And I steal their boat and I drive away and... I don't know. I mean, like, I was doing nothing, but I was having a really good time. And
yeah, I haven't done that at all in this game. I've just been doing the missions.
Right. See, my goal sort of is just to get, at this point with the console version, is just to get, see what the game is like and not really play too much of it.
I think you're wasting your time. I think if you have the game,
as
good as
money.
The PC version is going to look, I don't think it's going to be out until, let's say... Even if it's out in winter 2014, you don't think...
What?
When do you think winter 2014? That would
be
this
January.
Huh?
It's going to be out soon. Shipwreck, when's it going to be out? I trust Shipwreck.
I still say spring 2014, earlier.
Well, you just told me it's winter 2014.
I'm saying even if it came out that soon, but I don't think it will.
Shipwreck, what's the answer?
Wait, what? I think spring. I think May.
See, May 2014 will be when you get your Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC. If you're going to
wait, what I could do? I have a great idea.
What?
I can play the online version on Xbox when that comes out.
Yep, which will be soon.
And then when the PC version comes out, I'll play the story mode. I mean, I'm just really impressed with the way that they've made this city seem... It seems real, not in the way that, you know, you're running people over, obviously, if you choose to do that. But just in terms of the city, I mean, it seems like a real place that I want to drive. I mean, I'm literally driving around just listening to the radio, seeing what's happening in the city.
I just wish they had a better way. I mean, it's been five games, and that's the one thing that Saints Row does better is pointing you in the direction of where you need to go without having to look in the bottom left corner.
I guess so. It doesn't bother me. It's the one thing that bothers me the most
about Grand Theft Auto. I do think it's, I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's a nitpick. I'm not saying it's a game.
Yeah, it's not worth talking about anymore. Let's stop talking about it.
And the beaks still move.
It's the duck bills.
Exactly. It's the duck bills of Grand Theft Auto.
But I think the writing so far is really, like, they're at the top of their game. I mean, it's funny. The dialogue is hilarious, especially Lamar. Talking about big dog, big nuts. I mean, I just searched the hashtag for big dog, big nuts on Twitter, and there was a lot of tweets about it. So obviously, everyone's enjoying the writing.
Did you download the app?
I did download the app. It's very cool how you can customize the cars, but at the same time, it leaves you wanting a lot more, like being able to actually see the cars and, you know, more functionality. If it was a full-on... Like I could really customize the cars and see what it looks like and change the paint and everything, all that shit from an app. That would just be amazing. But you know, that's really only the only thing I'm looking for in a GTA app, probably. Robin's Bra wrote in and wanted to know which do I like better, or which do we like better, Saints Row 3 or GTA 5. I don't know about that. I mean, I could say for Saints Row 4 versus GTA 5, definitely GTA 5 so far. Saints Row 4 just doesn't seem like it's even on the same level as GTA 5. It's a good thing that game came out in the summer. Saints Row 4 is basically just Saints Row 3 with a skin over it, and Grand Theft Auto 5 just seems such a step above Grand Theft Auto 4. Do you agree, Wombat? Like in terms of,
it's 5 years later.
Yeah. I mean, just the city and everything, just the way that it feels like a real city.
It's a great looking game.
And sounding too.
Yeah. Yes. There's the
sound of the cars in the background and the city noise is incredible.
You know what? The last thing I did in that game was the first big heist. And that was pretty badass.
I'm not up to that.
I know you're not up to that. I'm telling you, you should play to get up to the first big heist.
I actually took notes while
and
I
then,
was
and then the come back. And then come back and tell me that you're going to wait until the spring to play more. You get that far. I'm not 5 hours into the game. I'm not saying you have to play the game for, you know, 100 hours.
Yeah.
Do those missions just to do that.
And one then heist come, mission.
Just the first big heist. Okay. And then tell me if you're going to wait till the spring.
Okay. Okay,
I think that's fair. If you say, okay, I get the idea, I've played enough, I'm happy to wait. Or if you say, I really want to see where this takes me.
Honestly, dude, like I have so much fun just turning the game on and playing it. It's definitely possible that I could just say, let me just do this mission over here, or this one over there. I like being in that world. So
I'm telling you, do the
mission. The character switching.
Character switching is pretty cool. I still only have two of the characters, but yeah. Not that, you know, I need that many characters, but
it's just great because, yeah. Like, hey, I want to be a rich white guy. Bam, push a button. I want to be street
say
kid.
Say something. Yep, I'm waiting.
What? Gangster? What do you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
You think I was going to say the N-word? What were you waiting for exactly?
I was waiting for you to say something unintentionally offensive.
No, come on. I'm from the streets, Wombat.
Are you now?
Yeah.
I highly recommend getting Franklin the goatee. He looks better with the goatee.
No, but the soundtrack is great. Blows away Saints Row 4 soundtrack. You know, DJs and everything. I mean, I've only played a couple hours so far and really haven't done much, but I think that the GTA 5 blows away Saints Row 4 so far. Does it blow away Saints Row 3? I mean, it's not really a fair comparison. Too many years have passed, I guess, but I don't know. I'm really impressed with it. I was expecting to be underwhelmed, and I was overwhelmed.
Oh.
What else do we got? Good question. Steam time? Steam News well, time?
We've both been playing a little bit of Angry Video Game Nerd Adventures.
I tried it on the Shield, actually.
Okay. How did that go?
I only played maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes. It seemed like a game that's probably not for me. This is like for people who are good at games, probably.
It's a 2D, at least the parts that I've played have been a 2D platformer with Mega Man and Castlevania influences.
Okay, yeah. And you're the nerd and you shoot things and there's a lot of cursing, text cursing on the screen.
It seems pretty solid for what I've played so far. I was having an issue this whole last week. I finally figured it out today with my PC, where my PC would be, all of a sudden, the window that I was in would become inactive. So it was, even in games, like it would play for a minute, and then my cursor or my controller wouldn't respond. I finally figured out it was something with my wireless, like the program that finds my network. It was
It kept popping up.
Yeah, it kept on. Well, it wasn't popping up like to where I could see what it was, but it was constantly trying to find a new network in the background or something.
What an asshole.
Yeah, so great. So let's lead into Steam machines with that.
Right, because get ready. Well, okay. So there's supposedly three big announcements coming from Valve, and we've heard two of them now.
Two.
So the first was Steam OS is coming.
Stemos.
John Stemos is coming.
John Stemos, Greek operating system.
Yes. We will see if it is as handsome and studly as the real deal. But basically, from my understanding, is that this is Valve's own operating system built on Linux. And it's the main feature is that it will be optimized for gaming and that it will allow you to stream games over your home network and play them on a TV somehow. But I don't know how. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, basically Gabe got pissed off at Windows and decided that he was going to make an operating system.
Right. Don't try to close off Windows, because Windows 8 is supposed to be or is a closed platform or no?
I mean, whatever. Yeah. I this whole closed versus open platform, I personally am more in favor of closed platforms just because stuff works then. I mean, that's why I prefer Apple's and that whole environment. Like a walled off environment has its advantages.
Well, but what about your PC gaming? That means that would mean no Steam on your Windows 8 PC.
No, Steam works great.
I'm saying, but I think he was worried when he talks about Windows 8 being a closed platform, what is he referring to? What is Gaben referring to?
I have no idea.
Okay, because I couldn't figure out. I mean, I know there's an app store on there, I'm sure, for Windows 8. But maybe it looked like Microsoft was heading in that direction with gaming as well, like not allowing Steam. I don't know. It seems a little weird. But anyway, so that's Steam OS, okay? And now the announcement today was Steam machines are coming. So there's not going to be one Steam box, which some people thought was going to happen. There's going to be... What's that?
Steam box.
Right. There's going to be several different Steam machines from different manufacturers.
I like the big green Steam machine, personally.
And it sounded like that Valve was making their own Steam machine as well. Ship, is that right?
They are making a prototype machine.
Okay.
I don't know if they ever said that they were going to make one
for market.
For market, but for the beta testing, they're putting out a prototype machine that is like the upper tier of what these Steam machines will be.
Right. Okay. And they mentioned that there would be different kinds of Steam machines, one that focus on, I guess, size, some that focus on quiet fans, and some that focus on power or whatever. But does any of this really matter? Is this going to make any dent in console gaming?
Am I supposed to be? Because I'm confused. Am I the guy who doesn't own a gaming PC?
Right.
Am I supposed to be the target for this? Or are you someone who already owns a gaming PC? Are you supposed to be the target for this?
Good question.
Honestly don't know.
I don't know either. Because from what I've heard so far and from what you've told me, Wombat, if you were supposed to be that person, it sounds like they're just confusing you more.
I'm like, wait, there's going to be multiple? Which is the one that I should get? What's the best one for me? How do I know? I want the best one.
That's a PC then. You're going to buy a PC.
Nothing changes for you.
Is it just a gaming PC? Do I just need a gaming PC with big picture mode? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, that would work fine.
Does it technically... Is everything that they're announcing technically already exist?
Yes, except for SteamOS.
Yes.
But what is SteamOS going to do that current Steam doesn't?
The game streaming through your home network.
Okay, so but what is big picture mode then?
Big picture mode just gives you a different interface for accessing Steam with a controller.
But I can't. But
that exists. That exists now. It works. I use it.
And I can plug my computer into my TV and you play games on my TV that way.
Yep.
So the difference is that I would have to actually use a wire as opposed to using my home network.
Not necessarily, because I use a wireless HDMI transmitter.
Okay, so again,
but to be able to stream these, you would need a gaming PC already.
But what's the better option, streaming or using wireless HDMI? What's better?
Oh, wired is... Well, I don't know, because this doesn't exist yet. This streaming over the home network, I don't know. Like, I don't know how well that's going to work. Is that... And Shipwreck has tried... Have you tried any wireless streaming yet, Ship?
Well, I mean, we both
isn't
have
that
the
shield.
Right,
we have
right.
the shield.
Okay, I was talking streams, more traditional, but okay.
But yeah, but it's the NVIDIA shield.
Right.
Streams, like, this is the amazing thing about this, too, is the shield is almost a walled-in environment. There's very specific graphics cards that work with it. So hardware-wise, it's kind of a known factor. And it doesn't work all the time. We already talked about
mostly
that.
Mostly not for me.
When it works okay. But when it works, it's also lowering the resolution, putting it out there into a smaller format. We're not talking about pumping out the graphics the same that you're going to get on your PC. If you're going to stream stuff, you're going to lose fidelity.
This is below 720p.
So why should I just not go out there and buy myself a PlayStation 4 that plugs into the back of my TV, and then there's another plug that goes into my wall, and then there's a little slot that I put discs in, and then I push the button and I'm playing
this
a game.
Why Steam boxes or Steam machines are going to have like no impact on the console.
And there's only one PlayStation 4, so I don't have to worry about the different ones made by different companies.
Right.
So
that's the biggest mistake I think they've made here is they talk about how great it is to be open and to give you all these options and everything, but as the people who want that are already PC gamers.
Ugh, they make me feel like a Republican.
they're
liberal,
they're PC gamers.
This liberal hippie video game company with their flowers and their rainbows, and everybody can make a Steam box. I don't have time for that. Just tell me which is the good one to buy.
The problem is, Wombat, is that none of these are going to be subsidized, I'm assuming.
So really,
you're just going to be paying full price.
How much is it? How much are these going to... Maybe
gonna
on
cost
Friday?
$1,000. This is going to cost more than the Xbox One. Okay? That's all you need to know. It's just not going to be a factor.
That's another huge mistake.
These are going to be constantly online, right? There's going to be no offline play with these.
No, you can with Steam. What was the big mistake?
The big mistake on this, too, is the timing on this. They're coming out after the PS4 and Xbox One hit the market.
Right.
So you've already limited your market share there because people are going to go out and they're going to buy the new consoles. Like if this had come out like middle of this generation, let's say, then people might have been in the market to buy a new gaming device. Like we'll try something new. Now the console buyers are going to go out and buy a PS4 or an Xbox One or both.
All right. Nobody's waiting. No console people are waiting really to see if you're waiting and expecting like a Steam machine, a $400 Steam machine to come out, then I think you're deluding yourself.
One might come out. It's just, you've got to realize it's not going to be cutting edge.
Yeah. It may not look as good as your Xbox One.
And it'll be a lot more of a pain in the ass, probably.
And it won't be it won't be an end user friendly device.
Yeah. And I seriously doubt, like, I'm very skeptical about the streaming stuff, just because I know, just for me to stream, just to, you know, just to send a 1080p video signal from my computer to my TV, which is only, it's only like 5 feet away through a very thin wall. I have a dedicated box that does that, which costs, it was about $200 or a little more maybe. And I know there's a lot of them out there that cost around the same and just don't work for people. So if there's dedicated boxes like that, they're having trouble getting the signal through. I just don't know how this is going to work over your home network. You know, these don't even work over your home network. It just seems like you would need to be in the ideal situation somewhere.
It's not going to hit mainstream consumers because they're not, this doesn't have a place at Walmart and Target. It definitely doesn't. It's not going to sit there on the store shelves anywhere in their stores. And you also, you're going to have a modern router. Like, people are going to have to know what router they're going to have to buy. You're going to have an N series router or better.
And you have to be hopeful that your neighbors don't really have Wi-Fi, maybe. The more Wi-Fi signals that are... I didn't realize this, but, you know, Ben was telling me that the more network activity that's going around your apartment, it messes with the signal and it can make the streaming stuff just impossible.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I had no idea. Yeah,
that's why you have to carefully look to see what your neighbors, what channels they're on and everything like that. And get on different channels.
Yeah. So I think, Wombat, to come back to what you were saying, is this for you? I mean, we've answered that question, right? I mean,
it's not for me.
It's for the guy who already is into PC gaming and is just really not going to be intimidated by it and just maybe is looking for an off-the-shelf solution, doesn't want to build himself, maybe?
The only person I can think of that's going to get this is Shipwreck. And that's only because he gets everything just to get it.
No, I don't think this... This isn't for me. It's not for me. It's for some people, but I know that I'm not going to be happy with the streaming because it's going to be a lower quality than if I just plugged my PC into the TV. It doesn't really benefit me in any way.
Interesting. Yeah.
This is why I'm skeptical about the PS4 video streaming as well. Any video streaming, I'm skeptical because I've tried to do it and I know it's just a pain in the ass. When Super Programmer John was here, he's trying to do the same thing in his house with his PC, getting it up on the big screen. And he bought a wireless transmitter. And he said he started noticing screen tearing, to the point where it just bothered him so much that he had to just stop using it. And then when he came to my place, he sat there checking out my setup with like a bunch of different games, hunting for that screen tearing because he just couldn't believe that somehow I managed to get a system that actually fucking worked. But eventually he admitted that it did work. But again, this is a dedicated, you know, streaming, you know, wireless setup, not something that's built into an operating system that's going over, you know, your router. So yeah, skeptical, very skeptical. Bob Draken wrote in and asked, is the Ouya about to be doomed because of the impending Steam box? Could Valve finally have had a solution for console gamers? We answered the second part. The first part, I'll let Wombat answer that.
Ouya's already doomed, Steambox or not.
Right. Yeah. And one last thing. So Ship got invited to the Steam family sharing beta. How did you get in on that?
They sent it out to the people on their press list. And so I got on it.
Damn.
Yeah.
So we tried that this morning, or your evening, Ship. So now we're friends. We're Steam or family. What are we? Family.
Yeah, we're more than friends. We're family now.
We're family, and it was
very easy. The way that works.
It totally works.
People don't know is I have to give Cheapy my login and password, and he has to go in and log in on his machine, and then sends an email back to me that's saying, hey, somebody's trying to log into your account over on this machine that's not authorized. You want to authorize it? And then I send a code back to Cheapy that says, yes, authorize with this code.
Yeah. That's your
Steam guard.
And then
there's like three other steps and then you're all ready to go.
Yeah, it was easy. But yeah, mm-hmm. You do have to give your family member.
You do have to give your account information.
Yes.
So this isn't something where you're going to be wanting to do it with people you're not comfortable.
Right. You're not going to be doing this with strangers. Well, you might if you feel comfortable with them on, I'm saying like on CAG, but I don't know. People are very friendly on CAG. I guess they could do that.
Be careful.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, be very careful, of course. But it did work, and I downloaded WizOrb off of your computer just because it was small, and I wanted to test it. And presumably, if I start playing that, and then you jump on and try to, if you just launch Steam, does it kick me off, or do you have to launch?
I don't think it's if I just launch Steam. I think it's if I launch a game.
Any game.
Yeah.
Any
game. Then it gives you like, hey. This is going to shut down.
Wrap it up.
Would you like to buy this game or we're going to kick you out?
Yeah. Here's a few minutes to save or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So that was that seems like to work pretty well. Moving on here. What's this Sony stuff here? Someone enlighten us.
Oh, I put that on there.
Oh.
So if you spend $50 on the PSN PlayStation Network through October 29th, you get $10 in credit back.
Very nice.
Well, that's the reason what deal. Makes this, you know, just a little bit more interesting is mm-hmm. that if you're willing to, you know, if you're interested in the upgrade program where you can upgrade mm-hmm. your digital purchases for, I think it's, for, you know, we talked about this last week, four select games, was it Assassin's Creed?
From PS3 to PS4.
From PS3 to PS4, you essentially will get the $10 back from PlayStation to do it. So it really will wind up costing you nothing to upgrade those games.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's really the only reason why I put that on there, is I thought that was actually kind of neat. It makes me wonder why they're doing, I guess they just feel they need to do the $10 thing anyway, but it's really kind of moot if you get the credit. Although maybe you'll spend the $10 on something else. If you buy those four games and have $40 in credit, maybe you will still spend $40 to upgrade those games plus get another game with that $40. I can't tell you what to do, but it's good to know that you can theoretically upgrade your games from PS3 to PS4 for the four eligible titles for nothing.
Right. Yeah, good deal.
Excellent. Yeah. You just have to wait the 3 days for the game to download.
Well, maybe not with PS4.
Yeah. Or... And starting on Thursday, though, you can have a chance to win a PlayStation 4 thanks to Taco Bell, who's giving away a PlayStation 4 every 15 minutes, I think, for a couple of weeks or so.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a pretty good package, too.
But unfortunately, you have to go inside Taco Bell, too.
I was going to say, no, it's a good meal deal.
What? Did you just use the word good and Taco Bell in the same sentence?
I like Taco Bell.
Do you really still eat a Taco Bell?
My kids like the cheese roll-ups.
You let your kids eat a Taco Bell?
They're like, it's
you think
tortilla?
I'm a bad dad for leaving my kid at home for like an hour?
It's a tortilla with cheese in it. It costs 89 cents. Ugh. And sometimes we're on the go. And you know what? Cheese roll-up from Taco Bell.
And you're wondering why your kid has diarrhea, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not like it's not everyday food. And first of all, you've never had a cheese. You don't know what
I don't.
There's nothing wrong with a cheese roll-up from Taco Bell.
I'm the guy who, when I went to Taco Bell in college, do you remember when they had the light menu?
Mm-hmm.
I used to get the light menu.
No, they still have something like that. They have the cantina menu, which is...
It was better.
Yeah, it's good. It is better. It's still good, that stuff. But this isn't bad either. I mean, I like the Crunchwrap Supreme.
What's in this big box that you're going to get?
You got a Crunchwrap Supreme. Right. You got some sort of, I think, like a beefy bean burrito kind of thing. I don't know if it's got any kind of crunch in that, though. And one crunchy taco. Plus a soda for $5.
Hmm. And it comes with a cork.
Exactly. Yeah. But I like, you know, I personally haven't had any fast food in almost two and a half months. So
now you can eat this every day until you win.
Exactly.
Now you can't afford not to eat there.
That's a lot of food for $5. If I were to get that, I'd probably split it with my wife and probably see if any of my children would want any of it, which they probably wouldn't because they wouldn't eat that. But yeah, that's more food than I could eat for $5.
Can we talk about Taco Bell more?
I like, first of all, a bean burrito from Taco Bell is really good.
Ugh. Don't you have a proper place? Surely you must have a proper Mexican place in your
There actually isn't any place that close to my house.
How about Mexico? Start walking. All right.
But yeah.
Let's talk about this article, Wombat, that you brought to my attention earlier.
Ah, this Connect article from Kotaku.
Yes, this is a very good article on Kotaku, mostly because it's not inflammatory at all. It's very straightforward and not not like a tabloid. It's just very, the guy gives his opinion and it's, you know, tempered, I guess, and reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, why don't you talk to us about the article, Wombat?
Sure. So this author, Mark Searles, if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, I apologize in advance. He got to use the Kinect at, I want to say, was it at Tokyo Game Show? Or was it someplace else? He doesn't even say.
He didn't say.
But he had a demo with the new Kinect on the Xbox One. And basically, he found it underwhelming. He had a lot of issues trying to get it to, you know, with Kinect Sports Rivals, it took a lot longer than he felt it should have to get it to scan him. And I kind of get that.
And it still didn't work when, even after it did all that, it still just did not feel responsive.
And for something that they're touting as being, you know, this is it, this is the thing, the expectation is that it should work. And it should work well, and it should work great right away.
Right.
And he was underwhelmed by all of that. And it does.
The name of the article, by the way, is Why I'm a Little Bit Worried About Kinect.
Yeah. And I totally get that, too, because it does what we've talked about this before, where, you know, we don't know if the Kinect is really going to work and how important it is that it does. And if this, you know, one guy saying it doesn't really work all that well, maybe it's just the experience he had and that's not indicative of the final product. We don't know, but this article does make me a little, you know.
Now uneasy. You're worried a little bit worried about Kinect.
Yeah, a little worried. Exactly. As the article states, it does make me a little worried about Kinect, especially considering my setup, which is smaller than the commercials.
Right.
He's only played this one Kinect Sports Rivals, which is not a launch game either.
No, it is. That's the game that's not ready yet. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I'm a little bit worried about Kinect, but maybe just for the different reasons that we just haven't seen much of it at E3 or TGS. And this shit is coming out now, and you'd think if it was tip-top, they would be just demoing the fuck out of it everywhere.
Do you remember when Kinect came out
the first time, like how dedicated their booth was at E3?
Everybody's at TGS. Booth at E3. Everybody boosted E3 when it first came out. Everybody had a Kinect section to their booth.
Right. Now you can't even find shit to play there. I mean, at TGS, they had two small Kinect stations set up, which was actually more than I think they had at E3. But they were set up for media who had appointments. And I think they were showing Kinect Sports Rivals, and I cannot remember what the other one was showing. And they had another inside Kinect setup. I don't know what they were doing in there. That was just for like TV something. I don't know. But if you just think about all the Kinect titles that they were showing at E3 when the Kinect was coming out, and the amount of Kinect titles that you're seeing for Xbox One, it's just, they don't exist. It's just not there. It's like, I don't know. That's why I'm worried. Forget about Kinect Sports Rivals. I'm worried just because they're not showing
some of
anything.
That might be too, because they're, I mean, when the first Xbox Kinect came out, everybody already knew how to program for the 360. Everybody was in full swing there. Whereas this, they're learning how to program for the Xbox One and the new Kinect at the same time.
True. But we haven't even seen like a real voice-activated demo with the interface yet. I mean, we've seen the staged one that was during the TV conference. Which was not, you know, he had a slide thing in his pocket he was pushing, I'm pretty sure. So we haven't even seen that yet. And you think if that was working great, people would love to show that off, because that just, I mean, it just looks cool. When you see proper voice recognition working, I mean, it looks like the future. But where is all this stuff? Are we still too early? Doesn't seem like it. So I don't know. I'm worried about it as well.
I guess we'll all find out eventually. Except for maybe Chibi, who may just not plug it in.
The Kinect? Yeah. I'll try it. I mean, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but at this point, I'm wondering why. Just
I know. I'm trying to remember. I mean, you know, it was so long ago when the demo stations for the Xbox 360 started appearing in Best Buy. Because I feel like every Best Buy had a 360 demo station in it.
Right. But the more alarming thing is just that is at the trade shows. Because at the very least, you expect a lot of stuff to be shown behind closed doors or...
And well, there wasn't you don't know that it that. Wasn't.
No, I do know. I mean, they showed Fantasia behind closed doors, mm-hmm. which we saw. And if they were showing like the voice activation or voice control and interface control...
Well, it's hard to show a voice activation at a...
Behind closed doors. I'm talking about behind closed doors. I just don't think these demos went on because the technology's not ready or I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not good.
But it sucks. Fuck that thing.
It's fucking... You know, it doesn't all right. suck. What?
It might be all right.
It might be all right. I don't know. I'm worried.
We don't know.
The thing that I still have some hope for it in that they designed their whole system with this thing, like being integral. So
it could get better. Even if it sucks at launch, you're saying it could get better.
Will you, Shipwreck, be disappointed if it turns out that the thing really isn't integral? That it really is just being forced on there to get that for reasons that even I don't understand? Like, is the $100, at the end of the day, is this extra $100 really going to be worth it?
That's the question. That's the $100 question. That's the $100 question.
It's the $100 question. Is this extra $100 really going to be worth it?
We don't know. The answer is we don't know.
Because
I did notice.
If you're getting an Xbox One, you're paying for your Kinect.
Of course, yeah. And I noticed on, I use my Xbox now because I was playing Grand Theft Auto. I noticed that I was looking through what their app store there, and they had a Kinect app that you could download to better voice train your Kinect. Did you ever try that or see that? And it sends all the data to Microsoft.
Oh, the lab? Testing lab?
Maybe. Thing? I don't know. It's called like Voice Trainer or something like that.
I think I have that. Yeah, I think I did it a couple times. I got like an Avatar Award from it.
So I wonder, I'm assuming that, you know, as the Kinect 2 is being used in people's homes, it's going to be doing that automatically as long as you don't opt out of it and sending the data back to Microsoft so it can do a better job with your voice.
And sell it to the government.
Or at least do it locally. To improve it. I don't know.
We'll I don't see. Either. There's a lot of X factors, but they are taking a big gamble. But, you
X
know, that's nothing. We're not saying anything that everyone hasn't already been saying.
Right. I updated my phone to iOS 7.
I thought we all did.
I hadn't done it last week.
Oh, okay.
Because it hadn't come out yet here. It's nice.
It's nice. It's pretty. It's fine. It's all right. Emails doesn't work as well for me.
I don't really use that. I use Gmail. Should we move on to the CAG bag, perhaps? There's a bunch of questions here that were pretty good, I think. Let's see. Four Horsemen writes in and wants to know which has the worst and most confusing name for a product. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Wii U. Number two, Xbox One. Or number three, PlayStation Vita TV. Wombat, rank them from... best to worst.
Okay, best to worst. I'm going to say PlayStation Vita TV is the best because I think there are a lot of people out there that don't know what a Vita is.
Okay.
I think it might be a tie between Wii U and Xbox One.
Okay.
Because I don't... Again, I'm just going based on average consumer that doesn't know what they're buying. I think Wii U, you probably expect it. I don't think that explains that it's a new console.
Right, I agree.
And Xbox One, I think, is confusing because it sounds like it's a step down from the Xbox 360.
Gotcha. Okay, Ship?
I think Xbox One is the best name out of these three,
mm-hmm.
just because people are just going to go in and ask for an Xbox anyways. It's the new
right,
Xbox.
Close enough.
Yeah, so
give me the new Xbox. That's all there. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. That name doesn't matter, I don't think.
Okay.
It's separated enough from 360 that people know it's different. Like, people don't think, oh, they went from 1 to 360, so the 360 must be better.
Right.
I'm just speculating. Wombat. Yeah, I do.
No, I get it. I just don't think it's going to be a commonplace. Like, they're going to advertise this thing enough that people are going to know there's a new Xbox and.
Yeah, of course.
We'll get it. Yeah.
When someone walks into a store and asks for an Xbox and it's November 20 something or whatever, They're going to come. They'll get the new Xbox.
Right.
What else?
I think... I guess the Wii U's in the middle? I don't... It's really confusing to consumers, but... and then the PlayStation Vita TV, I would say, is the worst name for something.
Yeah.
Just right. Because nobody knows what a Vita is. Everybody knows what a TV is, and it's not a TV.
Right. No, I agree funny. With your order, Shipwreck. I'm right that's in the funny. Same camp with you for the same reasons. It is a hard... I mean, yeah. Either make it PlayStation TV... Or don't make it Vita TV. make it PlayStation TV. That's your answer. Mm-hmm. People will figure out.
It's too long of a name, too. Like it's
ridiculous. I mean, just if you need to know how ridiculous it is, we made a Tokyo Game Show video. It's on my YouTube page, GPD. And Scott comes over to me. He's like, we got to film something in front of the Vita TV. I'm like, all right, whatever. And we go stand set up there. And, you know, Scott's actually interested in this product. And we start filming, and Scott's like, and here it is, the new PlayStation, and he just can't even remember the name, even though it's right in front of him. And he's interested in it. So yeah, don't name your new product after a failed product, basically, at least in America. Okay, that was a good question. Boss J Bug writes in and says, do you think games are being shown too much from announcement to release date? Wombat, is there too much news about games before, too far in advance? I know that you think that that's true.
You've
mentioned it many times.
I don't like seeing games that don't exist. You know, and it's one thing to make a game announcement. I guess it's important to announce that your games are coming out, but I don't think you should be showing anything until that game is pretty much done. This is what the game is going to be. This is, you know, you don't want to have like Aliens Colonial Marines or even that XCOM game that came out over the summer. I mean, there's just so many examples of showing too much too soon.
Right, they showed the XCOM game, and they completely changed the game since then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you got to know what you're doing. What was the point of that? Yeah.
Right, and also I think that even for the on the gamer side, just reading about the game so much, so far in advance, it can only ruin it for you, right? Sure, it can get you excited for it, but it's only going to basically – the game's probably not going to live up to your lofty expectations.
You know who does it that really well is Rockstar.
They don't release too much, yeah.
They really don't. They do it very sparingly, and when you see it, it's like, oh, there's a trailer coming out. But they do 3 trailers for Grand Theft Auto.
And the game was coming out very soon at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, and the first one was like in June.
Well, it's easy to do that, though, when you're Rockstar.
Well, I was going to say, yes, I understand that, but I don't know. It's a hard question to answer, because I definitely understand where not everyone is Rockstar, and you have to get people interested in your game.
When is Sega supposed to start showing their games?
6 months out.
You think 6 months out?
6 minutes out.
Yeah. Well, it's like what I was saying, you know, last year's E3, they showed Watch Dogs, and that was the game everyone was talking about. And it was, you know, a year and a half before the game was even coming out. And I was like, let's wait and see what this game is, you know, really all about. That game was probably shown about... If they had waited and showed with as much as they were able to show at this year's E3, it may have had, I don't know, would the impact have been any different?
I don't know. It's all tiring.
I know. I'm exhausted already.
Just thinking about it.
No, just in general.
Nicholas 01 wrote in and thought that my character expired in Saints Row 3 for the PC. I have no idea. I mean, if you have to get to a certain point before you can...
And you have to download it.
On the PC version, it happens automatically.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah. So I think maybe you just haven't got... It should happen after you play for... You have to get to a certain mission. It's only like 15 minutes in or 20 minutes in. Or maybe they took me out. I don't know. Maybe because I only gave Saints Row 4 a 4 out of 5 in my review, they took me out. I'm sure that's exactly what happened. By the way, for all those reviewers who gave Saints Row 4 a 10 and Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out, like, it didn't leave you much room there, did it? I don't understand how both those games are 10s, but okay. Painkiller writes in and wants to know, is Titanfall really that good, or were you just excited to play a game with so much hype? Could this game sell a console? The devs are vets. I mean, you guys saw the demonstration at E3, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's pretty impressive looking.
Yeah, it looks very good. I don't know if it's for me. We talked about that last week, but it does look good for people that.
Yeah, I don't think it's for me or Wombat, but.
Right.
And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I think we're going to start seeing a shift where games aren't going to sell consoles anymore. Consoles are going to sell games. The shift is going to happen. You can mark my words on that.
I don't know what that means.
Like, I don't know what your words mean to mark.
Right. Basically, he's saying, will Titanfall sell consoles? No, right. I don't think anyone, by the time Titanfall comes out, everyone who wants the Xbox One will probably already have it. No one's going to
That's crazy talk. Everybody that wants an Xbox One is going to buy it.
I don't think Titanfall is going to, they already have made their decision if they want one or not. I don't think they're going to say, Titanfall's out. I want to buy an Xbox One just to play Titanfall. Because I want to play Titanfall.
I disagree.
I don't think the numbers are going to be there like they were in the past. It'll happen with some people, but it's not going to be like a huge paradigm shift in console sales. That happened. I don't know. When was the last time that really happened? Was Mario Kart the last game that happened for the Wii? And was that really accurate?
The 3DS has games. It's
not just one game though. It takes
a few
games that you want.
Well, then it takes. Well, what console has the best library for you on it is a very different question than could this game sell a console.
But I think now, like in the first 6 months of these new systems, the lineups are pretty similar. You know,
that's what I mean.
Great multi-platforming, or at least
games aren't going to sell a console. The console is going to sell the games.
But Titanfall is a game that will be available on the Xbox and not on the PlayStation 4 at least.
But it's also going to be, and it's also available on PC in the Xbox 360.
But that's is it coming to Xbox 360? At the same time?
That's a different game, though, really.
It's not even made by the same dudes.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
Right.
I think a game coming out and selling a million, helping it sell a million consoles, I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
I disagree. If you have an exclusive game that people get excited about. I mean, I could just see, you know, obviously there's going to be a big marketing campaign behind Titanfall. Who's publishing this?
EA.
Yeah. So there's going to be a big marketing campaign behind it. And it's going to look really good on TV commercials because you can have the mechs dropping in. You can have the dudes flying all over from the inventor. What's that?
Good. You said the right song to it. And it's.
Yep.
And when does Titanfall come out?
The creator of Call of Duty.
Possibly in May or June of next year.
Which?
Titanfall.
Yeah.
Yeah. May or June of next year.
Yeah.
The question is, how many Xbox Ones do you think will be sold by then?
You know what? It sounds like this year, this time around, they're able to produce a lot more. Sony's been saying that they've been able to get the yields up pretty good.
So what do you think? How many?
I don't know. I know that.
And what percentage of Titanfall sales are going to be to current owners of the console?
That's crazy. I know no one knows that, but you can.
Well, you're the one who just said that you think Titanfall can move a million consoles. I say that will never.
Well, over how long?
Happen.
What are you talking about?
But how do you know the people who bought it before Titanfall, didn't buy it because Titanfall is getting ready to come out?
Because who's doing that? That's a different conversation.
People
buy a console because they're looking forward to games that are coming out for it, but they're not going out and buying the game and the console at the same time.
That is the stupidest argument I think you've ever made.
Ta-da. Ding, ding, ding. That's not easy.
Whatever. Whatever, I'm done.
You don't know. The answer is, this game's going to look good on TV. It's going to sell a lot. And, you know, I don't know how many consoles these guys can pump out every month. Last time around, it was only like 250,000 a month for a few months for both Sony and Microsoft. I don't know. Ship, can they double that this time around?
I don't know. I have no idea of what they're producing.
All right.
I just know that it doesn't count unless you buy the console and the game at the same time.
But I don't know why it has to count at all. Like,
it's because he asked it in his question.
I mean, it can sell. People can. This game.
He
can
said,
sell
consoles, "Could this game sell?
How many?
Consoles?
I don't know.
I just don't. I don't know if a game is really going to be, if a single game is going to be the thing that moves consoles when on a release of a title anymore.
I don't know.
I think
it seems like a big investment.
I think console purchases are now a bigger picture.
Well, they're more expensive. Well, sort of.
They're not necessarily more expensive. I just think that the average consumer has a bigger picture in mind when making their console decision, and a single game, I don't think, does it anymore.
No, maybe. Depends.
I think that was a more eloquent way of what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but it's such a complicated thing to say because you know, in the back of your mind, you're sitting here thinking, well, there's going to be a Halo for this. Like,
okay, but you don't know when. Is it worth buying the console now or is it worth waiting for? And there's part of, but I think that same person's like, but I know I'm going to want to play these other games anyway. I might as well just buy it now because I want to do all of these things. The fact that Halo's coming up for it is a nice bonus. Or is it I'm only buying this for Halo?
Who knows? Doesn't matter.
People will only buy it for Halo. I guarantee you on that one.
I think it's going to be really interesting when the first Halo comes out. We'll revisit this when Halo comes out on the Xbox One, what the bump in console increase sales are.
It'll be significant.
We'll find out.
Especially they have the Halo console bundle.
You got the Doritos. You got the Mountain Dew. You got the Jeff Keighley world exclusives.
Right.
Jeff Keighley Master Chief helmet. A Mountain Dew production.
You'll have the comic books. You'll have the web series. It'll sell a lot of consoles.
Yeah, they'll dump a few dollars into that promotion, I'm pretty sure.
Did you guys know that I got third place in the Oberto Beef Jerky Gears of War contest?
I did. I did know that, yes. I saw the announcement on the Oberto website.
I won a year of Xbox Live is what that meant.
How did you enter the contest?
There was a sticker on Oberta beef jerky that you entered a code,
mm-hmm.
and apparently I randomly won.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. DSing7 writes in and says, who do you think has done a better job presenting their vision for their consoles and services, Sony or Microsoft? Does anyone have a different vision? Does anyone think that Sony and Microsoft have a completely different vision?
They do not.
Like, really? Like, forget about, like, what they say in the presentation. When it comes down to it and what they do, do you think either of them have, like, a vastly different vision for their console and services?
The first Microsoft one definitely was, but now, like, the first Microsoft vision with all the
online
stuff mm-hmm. was definitely different.
Yep.
But Sony's vision is to do it the same as last time, and essentially Microsoft's is now too.
Well, Sony, I think, knows that that deep down, like, their online infrastructure is kind of shitty compared to Microsoft's, including all the, you know, firmware updates, title updates, that all of that stuff is just inferior.
I feel like there's a lot we still don't know about the PlayStation 4.
Of course.
There's been a lot of radio silence on that console.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, Microsoft has done a horrible job presenting everything.
Yeah, they just have to keep defending and defending and defending because, I mean, that has to have been. I mean, they probably have already blocked out the entire month of June from their members.
I think they had like a company wide shock treatment session.
Yeah, or they had the guys from Men in Black come in.
Right.
June was awesome.
Finally, we can all sleep now.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So, I'm sorry that I really didn't answer his question. There was two different questions there. Obviously, Sony has done a better job presenting
their vision. Yeah, I guess that we answered the question. Sony did a much better job of presenting their vision.
But I think they both have the same vision.
There you go.
And that is to make money with their system by selling you games and video services and other products.
Yes.
It's pretty much the same vision. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I think that's good for now, don't you?
I think we're set.
I think we're good. Well, then, that was a long show for us. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in, of course. Our friends at GoDaddy.com for your domain registration and web hosting needs. You got CAG 249, CAG 32 off 1, and CAG free 9. Too busy, can't tell you what they do. Just type them in, figure it out. GoDaddy.com. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Brett's done.
You're watching the most exciting game you will ever see on your TV set. Telstar by Coleco, with three different games. Telstar Tennis, with digital scoring, variable speeds. Telstar Hockey. Each player controls a goalie plus a forward on the other side. Oops, a goal. And Telstar Singles Handball, a game you play yourself. Telstar Handball, Tennis, Hockey. All three at an exciting low price. For great family fun, hitch your TV to a Telstar by Coleco.